It's working? Awesome. All right, well, good morning.
It's working.
Okay. Good to know. All right, well, this morning I really did want to put scriptures on a PowerPoint, but my computer decided to be stupid and not turn on. It just kept half booting up and then shutting off. So I'm like, okay, need new laptop. Anyways, I'm just going to pray one more time, and then we'll get into the Word. So, Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak your Word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and that you would open our spirits to receive from you today. Let everything I say be you, Holy Spirit, nothing of my own words, but you alone, that you would get the glory. You would be so glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Brad gave a great message about putting the word into action based on James 1, 22 to 25. So I'm just going to refresh us on what it says. If you want to open your Bibles, follow along in James. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." It's interesting to me that James refers to two of our senses. He says, a man who looks into a mirror using our eyes, and a man who hears and does not forget using our ears. All right, I don't know about you, but I know a whole whack of teenage girls who love to take selfies. They have their iPhones, their iPods, their everything that they use as a mirror. They actually use their camera as a mirror to check themselves out, to make sure everything is okay. And then, in the meantime, they go on and take about 80 selfies. Okay, so just so you don't, maybe you're not in the generation of selfies, I'm going to show you what a selfie is. All right, this is a selfie. You turn your camera to yourself. Oh, everybody smile. Oh, we're all in a church selfie together. Fantastic. So then they go about checking out those selfie pictures another couple times, you know, looking at them and admiring them. And then they probably take about the best 10 to 20 pictures and post them on Facebook. All right, so I have a lot of teenagers on my Facebook feed, and sometimes all I see is pictures of themselves. So this generation is not going to forget what they look like through life. They look intently at themselves in the mirror. They are constantly focusing on what they look like. They will not forget it. So I'm also guilty of taking selfies, but only when I look good. So God, we are to study and know God with the same intensity that these girls have in looking at themselves. And then not forget what we hear and learn, and we are to put it into action. Post it, hashtag it, do it. Okay, so now the question is, how do we do this? How do we put the word into action? How do we use our gifts to strengthen the church and build each other up and build up the kingdom of God? Well, let's continue in James 1. James says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's James 1, 26 to 27. Now, in the first century, orphans and widows had very little means of economic support. Unless a family member was willing to care for them and take them in, these people were powerless. The church puts God's word into practice when they bring them in. When we give with no hope on receiving on this earth in return, we show that this is what it means to serve others. There are still thousands of orphans out there in this world today. There are many struggling single mothers. There are many angry boys because they are fatherless. I just went on my visitations. Every Friday we go and do house visits to every kid that comes to LBE. And on Friday, I went to this one house I've been going to for 6 years. I've probably talked about them before, but this mom is just at the end of her rope with her oldest son. He's so rebellious. She's called CFS, and he's going to be taken to juvie if he doesn't do anything. He doesn't go to school. He's taken a pole and beaten his own mother to the point where she was covered with bruises. She called the cops. This boy is out of control. The social systems doesn't even know what to do with him. Foster care don't have homes for him. I don't know. I've known this kid since he was in grade 4. He's in grade 9 now. And he's just an angry boy. But there's no dad in that home. There's no influence. There's no role model. There are many lonely widows and widowers. Just like we heard Brad ask for somebody to visit Elsa. There are lonely people out there. Caring for these ones is acceptable as pure and faultless religion to our Father. So if we know this is acceptable to our Father and this is our call as believers, what stops us from putting it into action? What hinders us from moving forward in action? As we've learned over the past months, that we all have different spiritual gifts. None of us are giftless. None of you are giftless. You all have a gift. And 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15 says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself fully to them." First Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully and administering God's grace in its various forms. Our gifts are not for our own purpose, but to be used and to be shared with others. Last week, Brad said this saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Just like a musician or an athlete, if they don't tone their muscle, if they don't use it on a daily basis, if they don't practice their instrument and learn new songs, they're going to lose their talent. They're going to lose their gifting. And man, when you start up, it's painful. I just started the 21-day fix, and girl, it is beating my butt. It is hard. Muscles are waking up that I didn't even know I had. But once you start getting and using these muscles, you got to keep using it to build it up, to build it strong. And that's where the advice to Timothy was so important. And it's important for us too that we cannot neglect our gift. We cannot just forget about it. Just like the highly skilled and talented athlete loses their ability if their muscles aren't being toned by a constant use, we will lose our spiritual gifts if we don't put them to work. Our talents and our giftings are improved by exercise, but failing to use them causes them to waste away from the lack of practice and nourishment. Now, many of you know this, the story of the talents. You know, the worker comes, the master comes, and he gives three talents, five talents to one, three to another, and one to another. He's looking for good stewardship. Two of them invest it and double their talent. But one, he's afraid. He knows how valuable this talent is to the master. He knows how important the master is. So he hides it. He digs it up into a hole, into the ground. And when the master comes and he asks, "For what did you make of what I gave you?" he gives back the one talent. And the master looks at him and he says, "You wicked and lazy servant. Away from me." We have a great responsibility, church. What gifts and abilities has God given you? Are you using them regularly in serving God and in serving others? If not, why not? What hinders us from practicing our gifts? What stops us from serving others in this way? Well, I was thinking about a few reasons why people don't always move in their gifting. And I came up with seven reasons. You can take them or leave them, but these are the seven things I think would stop people and have stopped me. Number one, fear. Fear of the unknown, of taking a risk. Fear of what could happen to me if I did that. Maybe I'll get lice if I work with inner city children. Maybe my house will be broken in if I move into the core. Done and done. Gotten lice, gotten my house broken into. Or maybe if I commit somewhere, I'm going to be locked into it and the expectations are too high. They're going to use me too much. I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm going to be stuck. Or number two, you doubt. You doubt your gift. You doubt that you have what it takes. You say, "I'm a nobody. What do I have? I don't have anything. I can do anything." You doubt yourself and the resources that God's given you. Number three, time. This is a big one. "I'm too busy. I'm too busy with my family, with my children. They are growing up. I'm too busy with my commitments, with my responsibilities. I cannot serve the Lord. There is just not enough time." Number four, unaware of the needs around us. Unaware of opportunities to partner and serve. Maybe you've just been not able to go out a lot. You are focused on raising a family. Maybe you're just unaware of the needs out there. Number five, unaware of your gifting and too afraid to try something new to find that gifting. Number six, feeling too comfortable where you're at. "Oh, this is a good place. I come to church, I do a little dancing, I read my Bible, I love the Lord. This is comfortable. This is where I'm okay with. I don't want to take the risk to get out of my comfort zone." Our comfort zone can be a stumbling block. And number seven, and this is a big one. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I watch the news or I even hear about the news in Winnipeg, it's overwhelming. The problems in our world are overwhelming. All the things with the refugee crisis, with global problems, with problems in our city. Did you know Winnipeg is one of the murder capitals? There are problems. One of our teenage girls was burnt in that fire last week. 21 years old, two little baby boys, just gone. There are so many issues in our world, and it overwhelms me. And it's easier just to shut it off and ignore it than to do something about it. These are just a few things people come up with for reasons why they can't serve. And dare I say, they're excuses why we can't serve. Some of these are real reasons. But my challenge to you, O bride, is to ask the Holy Spirit to open opportunities for you to give and your faith to be stretched and courage to rise up and to walk in what the Lord has gifted you in. When I think of powerful role models who walk in their gifting as a lifestyle, I think of women like Mother Teresa. I think of women like Heidi Baker. I think of men like Billy Graham. These are powerful role models, and there's many more out there. But the number one role model of a servant heart is we can find it in Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, he said, "Whoever wants to become greater among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus knew the importance of serving others, of caring for people, of giving them hope, of giving of himself. He gave it all. He laid down his life for the call. That's loud. Jesus knew how to do it. One of my favorite examples of this is found in Mark 10, 13 to 16. You can turn there in your Bibles. And this may be one of my favorite ones because I love children and because my call is to work with children and my gifting is to work with children. But I think we can all learn from this one. So Matthew 10, starting at verse 13, or Mark 10, sorry. It says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them." That's so beautiful. Even this morning, watching the kids in the front here, we have so much to learn from kids. Oh, church, they were not afraid. They were not afraid to look foolish before the Lord. They were not afraid to give all their heart in worship. Now, one thing we have as adults is endurance, something kids don't have. Jesus' own disciples didn't see the importance of children. They saw them rather as a burden or of no value. But Jesus was indignant. I looked up that word. I was like, that's kind of a big word. And the dictionary says it was a feeling or showing anger or annoyance, what is perceived as unfair treatment. Even though the disciples thought Jesus was far too important and busy serving people that mattered, Jesus didn't agree. He not only values children, and took the time to welcome them, to hold them, probably even hug them, and bring them up close and personal. He also told us to be like them. Be like children, because the kingdom of God belongs to them. Now, Jesus was all about the Father's business. And the Father's business includes children. It's so his heart. He was not too busy. He was not too important in status to ignore these little ones. He took the time to express love and blessing and prayer over them. He was not too busy, church, to notice the least of them. This makes me think of Philippians 2, verse 3. You can turn there if you would like. I'm going to read just the first part. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Now this, kids have that down. Because yesterday, you know, we have like coloring sheets every Saturday. You know how many coloring sheets I get by the end of the Saturday? A stack. And it's just like, they could have kept it, but they always want to give me something. I went and delivered a hamper yesterday to a mom. She was so grateful for it. And the girl who comes to LBE, she's like, "Hi, Marianne." She was all excited I was in her house. And she went away, and I was talking to the mom. And all of a sudden, she comes back, and she gives me this little heart. And it just says, "I love you." You know, kids are always looking at the interests of others. They want to bless people. They want you to be loved. They are not afraid of showing it. And this is exactly what Jesus said, did. At the end there it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who was the very nature of God, did not even consider himself. He was a servant. He came to serve and not be served." Looking up the word interest in the dictionary as a noun, it explains it as a state of wanting to know or learn about something or someone. Attentiveness, attention, notice, heed, curiosity, interest. Let's look around our neighborhood, church. Let's look around our church family. Let's look around our city. Let's look at the interests of others. Let's notice the needs around us. And let's be motivated in love and in power to move in Jesus' name, to serve and to respond. When I was at California, I did a year internship with a ministry called the Dream Center. And their logo was find a need, fill the need. Is a good principle to live by. Find a need, fill the need. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Beloved, let's have compassion. Let us rise up in this hour. Let us not hold too tightly to our busy schedules, to our concerns of our own interests. When there's a helpless world out there needing a shepherd, you heard Jesus. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." This is a true story.
in our day right now. There is a great harvest, and your gifting is needed. You are needed. Yesterday, we had about 98 girls at Girls Church. It was crazy. And we had about 15 leaders, who half of them were high school students and junior high students. So really, only 5 adult women with 98 girls. These girls are needing shepherding. They're needing mentoring. They're needing a mother. They're needing love. And I give them all that I have. I pour out my life for these ones. I pour out everything I have every Saturday. We were singing that song, Trading My Sorrows. Guys, I was singing that song yesterday, and I was full-fledged into actions. I was sweating by the time I was done. I give it all. I lay it down. But I am one person. There are 98 girls. There's 150 girls on my roster. How is one person supposed to mentor and disciple 150 girls? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. This matters to me because these girls are so precious to me. It matters to the Lord. We need the active body serving, giving, being mobilized to care for the orphans and the widows, to move out of our comfort zone and see God move and do the impossible. We all have something to give, no matter how old or how young you are. You have something to give. Be it praying for others, interceding, be it giving a hug, or a kind word, or a selfless act, we are called to action. Maybe you're like, how, Marianne? Where do I start? Well, let's look at Jesus. He gathered 12 young men to himself. He said, come and follow me. He took them under his wing. He discipled them. He invested in them. He taught them. He shaped them. He empowered them. He raised up leaders. And then he said, go and do the same to these 12. And the 12 gathered 12. And it kept multiplying. No matter where we go in life, we are always older than somebody. There's always a younger person around us that needs the love of Jesus, that we can take under our wing and invest in. I was inspired by this story by John Shipp. He was a foster child. And his story is on YouTube if you want to look it up. But it was, he was actually proud of his record that he could get kicked out of a foster home in 7 days. He was that bad. He was that rebellious. He was that ungrateful. And he tells his story that he got kicked out of the next foster home, and then the social worker was taking him to the next one. And she was giving him his regular speech, you better shape it up because this is the last one. And he saw this foster father from in the car window. This guy was 6'5", 350 pounds. And his name was Rodney. And he thought, oh, that's going to be an easy target. I'll just bug him about his weight. I'm just going to get under his skin. I'm going to do whatever it takes. This one is going to be a new record. 3 days I'm going to get myself kicked out. Well, he did everything that was up his trick book. He skipped school. He stole. He stole the car. He wrecked the car. He stole money. He did everything he normally did. 3 years later, he still was not kicked out. He's like, I got to take this up a bit. So he opened up a bank account. He put $90 into it, and he began to write $10,000 worth of checks. Ooh, that would be hard. Then he started driving without a license, without insurance, speeding. He got pulled over. He got arrested. And the one call he makes is to Rodney. And Rodney says, I'll come tomorrow to get you. You sit in that, your choices right now. And Rodney came the next day. He said, son, we need to have a talk. He thought, it's finally come. I'm going to get kicked out this time. Man, if I was Rodney, I would kick myself out. And he sat him down. And this is what Rodney said. He said, you can keep messing up. You can keep getting yourself into trouble. You can keep trying to get yourself kicked out of here. But when are you going to get it through your thick head, son, that we don't see you as a problem? We see you as an opportunity. He didn't see Josh on the surface, but he saw what he could be. He saw the potential. And Rodney was the difference in Josh's life. Josh is now a believer in the Lord. He is a man who goes and speaks to empower youth leaders and share his story. The Lord did a mighty work in him. And Rodney did not give up. There were many adults that gave up. There were many adults he said he didn't trust, but he saw a difference in this man. He actually meant it. Josh says, every kid is one caring adult away from being a success story. Oh, that gives me hope. This boy that I talked about, he just needs one man to invest once a week, once a month, take him out, speak life into him. He's one adult away from being a success story. But he's also one out of the way from not getting up and not being motivated into being in our jail system as a grown man. I bet every one of you knows a young person, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, a neighbor child. It takes one adult to invest, to change the course of that child's destiny. Last night, I had this like powerful worship session in my living room. Nobody was home, so I put the speakers to max volume, and I had a dance party by myself. And it was this song, Forever Rain. And I'd like to play the song for you guys right now. And I just want you to sit in the words. Let the words wash over you as you listen.
You are Jesus, my Savior.
The church needs the Jesus. The world needs the Jesus in us. There's no other name but Jesus. It is not by our strength. It is not by our might. It is not in our power. It is not even in what we can do. It is in Jesus Christ. He is the light and the hope of our glory. He is the hope for this world. And if he reigns in you, he wants to be shown off. When I was having this little dance party in my living room, the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me, and I haven't really read this scripture in a long time, so I know it was the Lord. And it was from Isaiah 6, verse 8. And Isaiah is saying, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" That's a humble response. Church, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It is time to arise. It is time to be motivated and to get into action. It is time to invest and be poured out. I have given my life to the call that God has put on me. I have sacrificed. I have been up late. I've been at funerals for 12-year-olds who commit suicide. I have been sitting with a mother who feels so hopeless and crying and offering prayer. I have sat with a child who feels ugly and unworthy. I've sat with teenagers who cut themselves. I've poured out my life, but it is not me that can make a difference. It is Jesus in me. Who shall I send, and who will go for us? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to lay down your life for the service of God? Are you willing to be used for the kingdom of heaven? Because, church, this time is short. Jesus is coming. And what you do with your time here, it's going to matter for eternity there. It's going to matter. And I will just end with Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in heaven's glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick in or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the one of the least of these brethren of mine, you did for me." The least of them matter. There are so many service opportunities to be motivated, to get active. Living Bible Explorers is one opportunity. Every Friday, we make 180 lunches. There is a 90-year-old man who comes dedicated every Friday and peels carrots and cuts them up and puts them into 180 baggies. You are not too old to be used. And we have a ton of children and a ton of opportunity for you to be serving at. Fawn has opportunities. She needs volunteers. The church needs volunteers on Mondays. How long does the bulletin have to say we need volunteers for the children's ministry before we act? Church, you are needed. Are you going to say, "Send me"? And I want to pray for you, because it is not by our power. It is the Holy Spirit. And we need the filling of the love of God to go and do the work He's called us to do. So if you want to be filled up, if you need, just maybe you're like, "I want some opportunities. I want to get out of my comfort zone." Come and talk to me. Come and talk to Fawn. Go and visit the Geesebrooks in Japan. Do something extreme, or even something small, and speak to your neighbor. Find a kid and invest in them. Disciple them. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen us weak, inadequate people to do kingdom work. I thank you that it is not in our inadequacy. It is not in our own ability. Jesus, I fully believe that you will equip the call. You don't always call the equipped. So Lord, would you equip this church right now? Would you equip them? Would you strengthen them in this hour? As you will quickly be returning, will we invest in this world? Will we be the light in the darkness? Holy Spirit, empower us to get out of our comfort zones. Empower us to be your hands and your feet to the hurting world. Empower us to be a shepherd to the helpless. Jesus, by your might, by your power, all things are possible. And for your glory, Lord, I pray that you would release the fruit of love upon this bride right here, right now. You would release your Spirit on them, that it would generate something deep within their hearts, that they cannot sit, that they are uncomfortable, that it's the Spirit of the living God saying, "Arise! Come and follow me. Come and be my voice. Come and spread my light and my gospel and my hope." Jesus, I pray that you are the one who empowers us, and that you would strengthen us, and that we would walk in obedience to that call. Bless this church, Lord, and bless all the works that they do for your kingdom. Would it be multiplied? Would there be a great harvest for your glory? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you so much.